There's nothing like the thrill of a last-second victory. That buzzer beater from 20 feet out. The game-winning field goal that just makes it as the clock ticks down. That great limited-time deal on a new 2017 Volkswagen at the Volkswagen Model Year End event. We need to make room for the 2018s, so this could be your last chance to get a great deal on select 2017 Volkswagen models. Visit your nearest Volkswagen dealer for a test drive today. But hurry, because the clock is ticking and we can't call time out.
Blog Talk Radio.
T-minus 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5. All three engines up and burning. 2, 1, 0, and liftoff.
Coach on Fire Radio.
I am the tire.
Well, hello and welcome to the 38th episode of the Being Brilliant radio show. This is your host, Amy Hackett-Jones, happiness and high-performance coach and hypnotist for being brilliant in the way you both live and lead your life and those around you. You can find me at www.amyhackett.jones.com. The Being Brilliant radio show is a deep and impactful look at what it takes to be brilliant. The show invites you, our listeners, to step into the very essence of who you are being as you show up to life. My guests bring a combination of inspirational teachings coupled with practical tools and essential life and leadership skills translated into actionable strategies so that you, our listeners, may step into being the very best version of yourselves. My interviewees are high performers, thought leaders, game changers, pioneers, dreamers, adventurers, wayseers, visionaries, as well as friends and family, those whom I believe live brilliantly and who travel magically through life, shining their own light so others may do the same. Now, today, I have somebody very, very special on the line. I haven't actually met her in person. This is just we've met online, and she came highly recommended by one of my past guests. Now, Kavita Leela Arora Esquire is an Ivy League educated business coach and spiritual lawyer who has a degree in finance from the Wharton School of Business, more than 20 years of business experience, 15 years of Fortune 500 corporate experience, and a lifetime of personal transformation and spiritual development. She brings all of that skill to her mission of empowering women to create wealth and world change through their businesses. Kavita, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you so much for having me, Amy. I'm so delighted to be here.
Oh, my goodness. I'm so delighted to have you. It's just fantastic. And I'm so happy that we were connected through Kylie. And so I feel enormously blessed and ready to rock and roll with this show. I feel like there's so much we can dive into, and I'm really, really excited about that. So,
yeah.
You left a lucrative but uninspiring corporate career and dove into your business, quickly magnetizing your dream clients and creating rapid financial success and impact, which I know is something that a lot of us are looking for. And you also support women to create epic dreams in their businesses and their lives through proprietary methods in Soulfire Sales, Daily Nirvana, which are things that you, programs that you've developed. So I really want to dive into those as we move into the show. But first and foremost, as is always the case, I find truth is stranger than fiction and all the rest of it. I'd love to hear your story, part of your journey, where you started, and how did you get to be where you are today? Because you've quite an epic journey you've been on.
So just, yeah. Well, thank you for that great question. And, There are certain things that really just feel like a soul calling. And, I feel like everyone has them, and some people are more successful at ignoring them than others, because there are a lot of ways in which the soul calling can seem not very practical and not really, it doesn't seem to make sense to our minds. And, so I essentially for a bunch of my life had decided, well, I'm just going to do the practical thing, and I have a business degree and I have a law degree, and and for a while I really enjoyed the contract negotiation work I was doing and being part of corporate, and I sort of put like, I'm like, okay, personal growth, transformation, spirituality, that's what I do in my personal life. And then I have, like, my work life. And and then what started to happen is I got to this place in my career where, you know, and I'm an ambitious and driven woman, and I had no desire to advance to the next level in my job. I didn't want to lead the team. I didn't want to become the CEO. And I was like, what is wrong here? I don't understand why I don't really have the motivation to continue. And then I started to look at the things I was negotiating and spending all my energy on. And, I mean, there were technology contracts, and they were very interesting. Like, I love learning new things. So, you know, I learned how to do it, and then I got bored. But then I didn't want to go to the next level in the company. And then I looked at, like, what am I really doing here, and what value am I adding? And there are hundreds, if not thousands, of other people in the world who could do this very same kind of work. And I there was this part of me that, like, was starting to get louder and louder. And it was like, you're here to do something else, something different.
Yeah.
And I tried to push it down. I tried to push it away. It didn't make any sense. And, it all came to a head at one point, and I was binge drinking, I was binge eating, there were clearly things that were off, even though everything looked perfect on the outside. I was living in this gorgeous home and had a handsome husband and a gorgeous child and this job making lots of money. Like, I did all the things I was supposed to do, and yet I was really, really miserable. I didn't even look miserable to other people because I smile even when I'm not happy. So it's kind of strange. I'm just a smiley person. So no one could really tell that I was dying inside. So, that was where the journey began, and I felt like everything was falling apart on the inside, and that actually if I didn't change and if I didn't start listening to those voices that were starting to get so strong inside, because I couldn't numb them, I tried to make them go away, that I was self-destructive, and I might have ended up being destructive towards others as well. And I realized, like, oh my gosh, I had the whole dark night of the soul moment of, I really need to change everything and listen. And I'm actually quite grateful that I got such a loud, wake up call, that I had to pay attention to it, because otherwise I might have pushed it down and still be miserable.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Oh, fantastic.
So those are some of the highlights. I tend to be a talker, so if you want, I try and limit myself as to, like, how long I'm going to spend on each portion of the story. So if you have other questions, you want me to say more about anything I said, feel free to ask. I wasn't trying to skip over things quickly or anything, but I also, you know, don't want to take up the whole call with just my story.
Absolutely. When you say that, you know, you had this dark night of the soul and you started getting these messages, for people who are perhaps in that moment right now, you know, they've ticked all the boxes, and these sorts of people are generally speaking my clients as well, but they've ticked all the boxes that society sort of dictates that they need to tick, and they've gone and got the great corporate job and the husband and the kids and the nice house and this, that, and the other. They get to this point where they're utterly miserable and don't really know what to do next. And like you said, it's listening to that inner voice. When you say listening to that inner voice, what do you really mean? I mean, what was happening for you between your ears? What were you hearing? What was, you know, for somebody who perhaps hasn't got to that point yet, what would you say?
So I don't even know that at that point it was like, now I can identify that there was, there was this voice that I was trying to push down. But at the time, that's not how it occurred to me. At the time, it just, it felt like I was supposed to be, I was having this, all this dialogue around, I'm supposed to be happy. It's ungrateful not to be happy. I've done everything I was supposed to do to be happy. You know, and then there was the voice of like, well, why am I not happy? And then there were the unhealthy habits that were showing up because I didn't want to feel those unpleasant feelings. So it wasn't even like there was this loud voice that was saying, now you must change everything. The you must change everything voice came, honestly, at the moment where, and again, this is a very dramatic, these are dramatic moments that hopefully other people will not have to go through, but I ended up actually getting a DUI and having a car accident. And and thank God, I thank God to this day that by some miracle no one got hurt, because my car was totaled, the other car was totaled, and I really had this moment of truth of like, this is not at all who I am, and this is not who I want to be. So it was very quite dramatic of like, I actually need to change everything, because what I am doing, even though it seems to make sense to my mind, clearly makes no sense because I'm doing crazy things. Mm. And so for me, it had to get that far before I paid attention and changed things. And then I realized everything needed to change, even if it made no sense. And I needed to start, instead of numbing and pushing those feelings down, I needed to start listening. And so at that point, all it was about was, things are wrong. I need to do something to listen to whatever it is that is causing this. I don't know what it is, but I know that this is not how I want my life to turn out, and I'm going to actually hurt other people and myself if I don't figure this out. So it wasn't like there was this, now I can look back and see what I was pushing down, and I can hear the things that I couldn't hear then that I was trying to ignore. But then it was more just looking around and saying, wow, this is not congruent with who I know myself to be and what I came here to do. And so I need to evolve and figure this out, really.
Amazing. Gosh, and to think that you had to go through all of that. They are like the wake-up moments of the universe going, shaking you.
Yeah, it was a pretty loud one. Yeah, and then, I mean, I think people around me thought I was going crazy because here, this is June of 2010, this happens, and you would think that, like, at that point I'd just behave and go back to my job and do what I was supposed to do in my life. And instead, the following year, I started a business, and not knowing what I was doing and how I was going to do it, and just following my guidance and my intuition and trusting and having faith, which is not what they teach you in law school or business school, you know? So I seem pretty crazy. Yeah.
Yeah, and I think, in corporate or just in the world in general, we get told to trust our gut or follow our instincts or something or other, but we're not really taught what that is growing up, or at least we know it perhaps as children, and then it's kind of drummed out of us. So we have to then come back and relearn what it is to really trust our gut, our intuition, to hear the messages and the signs from the universe. If there's somebody out there listening today, what kind of piece of advice would you imagine yourself looking back now? What piece of advice would you give yourself from the past? Looking back, what one piece of advice would you give yourself at that sort of turning juncture?
What piece of advice I'd give myself is to pay attention to the earlier warning signs rather than trying to hide them and pretend everything is okay. Because I had earlier warning signs. But I had such strong conditioning to pretend like everything was okay, even when it wasn't, that it got really bad for me, and it got to a place where I had to pay attention. And even early warning signs like, okay, I used to have a lot of energy and enthusiasm for life, and now I don't. Oh, I'm drinking a bit more now than I used to, and I didn't actually even used to care about drinking. Or, you know, like, there are things like this that can seem really minor, but, you know, they're important to pay attention to. So I would have said to my younger self, you know, what's really going on here, and asking those questions way earlier than before a big problem occurs. And, you know, you absolutely have to pay attention or self-destruct. I mean, to avoid those dramatic moments, there are always early warning signs of, just that unhappiness and the wanting to escape from your feelings and, just beginning to look at them and finding help earlier.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for sharing that. It's so important. And I know that there are so many people out there in that sort of fog who, if they could just hear that message and just start listening and looking out and taking steps to course correct earlier, then it's save ourselves an awful lot of time and effort, grief.
Yeah. And health and years and, pain. Yeah.
Amazing. So you decided to set up your own business. Then what happened? So you set it up. Did you seek guidance from a coach or anything like that? Or you just set it up and went with it? How did that happen?
I got a coach pretty early on. What happened is I started to get help in terms of just my inner transformation. And then I started getting introduced to this whole new world of, I had been introduced to a telesummit through someone in a yoga class. And this was several months before the DUI. So it was really bizarre the way I felt like it was divinely orchestrated. So in January of 2010, one of my dreams had fallen apart. I had already started to become a coach and then it didn't work out because that company was not who I thought they were. And so I was getting, I felt like, okay, now everyone in my life thinks I should give up on this weird dream of being a coach and just go back to my corporate life. And I was feeling really awful. And it was the beginning of this depression. And then this woman in the yoga class, who happened to be from Miami, I was living in New Jersey, and people don't talk to each other all that much when they don't know you in New Jersey in yoga classes. And this woman from Miami was so friendly, and she came over and started getting to know me and told me about this telesummit, and I signed up. And at that moment, and this woman changed my life. All the stuff that happened afterward, it's amazing, these moments. And I had this little voice that started to say, I want to do that. I want to interview these amazing women. I have that, and then the other voices were like, who the hell are you to do that? Your dreams are apart. You suck. You're you're now going back to being a miserable lawyer. Your marriage isn't working. Who the hell are you to have this dream? and then there was the crazy, several months later, the DUI, and then they're like, okay, I need to listen to that voice now. And I've been, and now I'm in this community where I'm meeting all of these people who are really inspiring and coaches, and I'm hearing words like purposepreneur and spiritual entrepreneur and heart-based entrepreneur. And I'm like, what the hell is all this stuff? And that sounds really cool. And I kind of want to, I didn't know that existed, and I want that too. So then I hired a purpose coach to help me figure out how, and she had also run a telesummit. So I thought, okay, I don't know how to do this. And I know that if I'm starting a business, even though I'm completely terrified of marketing and sales, I need to have someone who knows how to do this and who knows how to do this telesummit thing. And, if I'm going to start a business, I need to have clients, and nobody knows who I am. And I really like the idea of interviewing people and doing this telesummit thing. And then I will have a list of people who I can then, who might want to be my client. So it seemed like a very smart business strategy because I am, I think in business terms. I was trained that way. And this is, the practical thinking came in very handy because I know a lot of people who just sort of start their business and they're like, where are the people? Where do I find my clients? Yep. And I knew I didn't want to start without a list. So I hired a coach to help me run the telesummit or figure out how to do the telesummit. Then I hired another coach to help me learn how to sell. Because I said, now I have this list and I have no idea how to sell. just am terrified. Like, okay, great, I have this list. Now I have no clients. What do I do? So, you know, that's I've had coaches all along the way, huge fan of both, you know, coaches that do spiritual and transformative work and inner work, and then also, I mean, I'm a fan of some of the business coaches I've had, and then other ones not so much, but I've learned something valuable from each experience is how I'd put it.
Yeah, absolutely. I would say the same.
Yeah.
And when I was talking about all those sort of mumpreneurs and solopreneurs and this, that, and the other preneurs, I mentioned to you just before we came live, but when I was promoting this show and on Instagram, I put hashtag spiritual lawyer. There were only three other images with that same hashtag. And I thought, there's not many spiritual lawyers out there in the world.
Yeah, no. In fact, I'm surprised you found anyone.
Yeah.
Because it's just something fun that I made up. But that's pretty cool that you found any.
I thought, you're onto something here. This is good news. So, okay, wonderful. So you've built your business. Now you focus on working with women and empowering women. What's the sort of journey that you take women through? Is it the similar journey that you've been through, or what's the process?
Well, so it used to be a similar journey to what I had been on, but what I discovered when I was doing that and when I was in other programs where the business coaches were doing that was that there were, you know, some people who did want to do it the way I did it, or sometimes I did want to do it the way the business coach did it, and there were other times where I was like, huh, that doesn't really resonate, and that happened to me when I ran my first you know, I launched a 12-month mastermind, a business mastermind for women in 2014. And I found that about one-third of the women wanted to do things the way I had done them. And the other two-thirds were like, I don't really want to do that. Right? Like, they didn't want to start with a telesummit. And at that point, that was what I knew how to teach, and that was what had worked for me. So then I devised, like, other strategies for them. I started customizing strategies. I started, like, saying, okay, well, maybe one of them just decided she didn't want a business, but she wanted to do this big project. So I came up with a project plan for her and how she would structure that. And I began to realize, and then I said, I can't run this program again until I figure out how to serve, like, the women I bring in, because I'm not good with, like, creating mini-me's out there. They don't, that's not what they want. That's not what's good for them. So what, how can I develop myself to be either I'm not going to do a program like this, or I'm going to develop myself to get to a place where I actually know enough different business strategies, and that I can tune into who they are, what their gifts are. And of course they have to have a strong enough desire to get, like, to create whatever business they have, to get out of their comfort zone, to do the thing, to do whatever it is that is required to start the business. Because it doesn't matter what strategy you follow, there is going to be discomfort, you know, as you're first building your business. So as long as that is there, I now have, you know, so what I do when I start working with someone, and even in the mastermind that I'm in the midst of currently inviting women into, is I customize, like I do an assessment of what are their gifts, what are their talents, how do they like to get the word out, what mediums do they like to use. And I've been in business long enough, and I've experimented with enough different strategies or supported others with enough different strategies, that there isn't a whole lot out there that I don't know how to do. And so essentially it's about, like, I mean, there are certain things that you absolutely have to have in order to make a business succeed. I mean, you have to have leads, you have to have people who are wanting to work with you, and you have to know how to sell to those people. As long as you have that and you have enough of that flow coming in from some method, then you're good and you can have a business. But if you don't have those two things happening, then you don't have a business. And so it's like, it can be that simple, but it's also, there's so much more to it, you know?
And I'm sure you bring a deep, as long as the practical side, you bring a deeply soulful aspect into your work.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about the Soul Fire sales method, because that's intriguing to me.
Well, this is something that has just started to come through. So it's newer, and I feel like in some ways it's what I've always been doing inside of the sales process, and then in other ways it's like it's taken to this whole new level. So what it has to do with is like business that's coming from your soul and sales that is coming from your soul. So there is, a part of you inside at which the ancient wisdom resides, in which all the answers that you need about anything in life, they're all within you. And then from the same part, there is your soul's calling. There is your dharma. There is your life purpose. There is, your essence that is here to be expressed as a mission. And I see this energy inside of you, this place inside of you, is having like the color of sapphire blue and the mystic and kind of like the element of water. And from this place inside of you comes what you are here to do, what you are here to express, what you are here to shift and change. And that I see as swirling with the fire element within you, the soul fire, and which is obviously like a bright orangey color. And it is the place from which, like, it's the passion. And it's the, like, let's take this fire out into the world, the fire dancing on the water, like, let's make this happen. It's like the energy that fuels you when everything's going wrong, but you know that this mission still needs to happen, and it keeps you going for your epic dreams, even when everything seems to be getting in the way of that happening, and it doesn't make sense anymore, but this fire is going to keep you going. And or when you're having 10 different sales conversations or 20 and like nothing's clicking, but that fire is going to keep you tuned in to the importance of your mission and the service you're doing, that you're going to stay consistent, that you're going to stick with it and make it happen because you believe in it that strongly. So that's what the soul fire is, and bringing that to sales is about, like, you really are, it changes the nature of a sales conversation, because you are not trying to persuade, you are not trying to convince, you are here, if the person on the other end is wanting the transformation or some kind of service from you, or the transformation you are offering, then you are actually there in service to their epic dream, to what they are wanting to create. So it's like this place inside of a, and the conversation itself, whether they sign up with you for deeper work or not, the conversation itself is transformative, because you are listening them into being. You are activating their soul fire. And so that, I mean, I could go on and on, but in as short a way as I can describe it, that's what soul fire sales is.
And I love that, the whole concept I learned several years ago now about sales, and more that it be more of an enrollment rather than a sales conversation. It's like you're not there to sell. There has to be, firstly, obviously, there has to be a connection between the coach and the coachee and that sort of thing. But it's bringing that, I just love the way you describe it, that soul fire-ness to the whole process. And so it's not salesy. And as you put at the bottom here, it's not icky and gross.
Yeah, it can be fun.
Falling and energies align, synergies align, and it happens. Amazing. So tell us a bit then about daily nirvana. What is that?
Well, I actually last year thought that was going to be my brand and that was going to be my thing, because I had given up on the whole business coaching thing for a while, because I was like, this has no integrity. I cannot do it unless I can serve in a different way. And at that point, so I thought, like, I started receiving these messages around daily nirvana. And the daily nirvana method really is about, like, your self-care. And, like, what does it take for you to experience daily nirvana? you know, and what I realized at the time was it was a message that was coming through for me because I had done business in the way of like not taking care of myself and really burning myself out for the first years of my business. And now it's just, it's something that I definitely teach inside of my programs, but not something that I, you know, have a program called the Daily Nirvana Method, or I may at some point, but it's something that I teach because I really believe that you cannot serve from your soul fire if you are not taking amazing care of yourself. So a daily Nirvana practice for me can look like, and I mean, I'm doing an abbreviated one right now because I'm really, really busy. But the fact is that in the past, when I used to get really, really busy, I used to have no dedication to, or no focus on the self-care because I'm a mom and I'm a wife, and then I would be busy in my business. But now I still meditate every day, you know, even during this busy period. I will, you know, and I still go in the jacuzzi once or twice a week and, like, you know, before bedtime. And, like, I make sure I do some of these things, or, you know, there's some journaling that I'll do, or I make sure to take time on the weekend for some of the things that nourish me. I still go to yoga a couple times a week. I, you know, so like that is non-negotiable because I actually know that if I'm not doing those things, then, and when I am doing those things, I feel a sense of like the daily Nirvana, this peace, this connection to myself, and actually start feeling like, or going to the chiropractor, all whatever it is that helps you stay connected to you and present to your feelings and what is happening for you and grounded. If I'm not in that place, I actually cannot really serve from my soul fire because I am disconnected. Like it's a very embodied way of selling. It's a very embodied way of being. And so it's, so that's what, and daily Nirvana, the method, I mean, and the things that I teach, I mean, you can have a really amazing, like when I have time, and I did this during a year where I was just feeling so conflicted about where I wanted to go next in my business and really needed to drop inside. And that can be like a 2-hour, 3-hour morning practice. That can mean like waking up and then meditating, or maybe doing a little yoga and then doing some pranayama and then doing some journaling and some reading and then doing a card reading. Like it can be very extensive. I don't have time for that right now, but I will. And then when I do, that's super fun. And then there's an evening ritual as well. And, you know, you can have a midday ritual. And so it's, but I like to do, you know, a lot of people are super busy, so we don't start with all that. That seems really overwhelming. You know, for me, like in the beginning, it was kind of like, self-care, what's that?
I know. What's that? Me too. I just think, who on earth has time for that?
But when you say daily Nirvana, to me, like, I'm like, yeah, I want that. Self-care, okay, now it's become something I want. But initially, I was just like, I don't have time for that. But when I started calling it, like, my daily Nirvana practice, it's like, that sounds really yummy. You know?
Yeah.
So that's sort of, that's where it came from,
It's so true. Like, I mean, I was a bit the same as you. So like, what on earth would you do all of that for? Yes, I get meditating, and I love to do triathlons, so swimming, cycling, running, and that sort of thing. And so, I get up and do that, but the journaling, it took me a while to get into. The meditating took me a while to get into. The all of those practices and the self-care package that I now do as well, it really took me a while to ease into that because I had so much resistance. No, I've got to get busy. I've got to do this. I've got to do the other. And then I started to realize that actually the more I did the self-care, the better I worked, the better I focused, the more I got done.
I'm so there with you on that. And it's so funny because we think that like before we get to the place where we surrender to it and somehow start doing it, for however that journey is for each one of us, and then you're like, why haven't I been doing this all along? I feel so much better. I actually get more done in less time. I don't, I make better decisions. I mean, I find that magical things happen too. Like, do you ever find this? Like, you're looking at your week and you're like, wow, if only this appointment and this appointment weren't there and it went to some other week or a given day, and then that person reaches out to you and says, I can't make it today, or like the two people or the three people, and your week transforms into, like, I find that when I'm in this space, that stuff happens all the time.
Yes. And I remember my very second radio show that I ever did. I had reached out to a guy who had a massive following and this and that. And I'd only done two at that point. So I didn't have a following or anything like this. And I meditated and I got myself into the space and I reached out to him. And I just sort of said, look, I've only done one show, but this is the idea behind it, blah, blah, blah. And literally he responded within 5 minutes. And I thought, oh, my goodness, this stuff works.
Wow.
It really works.
That is amazing.
And that was me sort of thinking about, well, who am I to ask him this and who am I this, that, and the other, that story. And then the universe just showed me, because I'd set the intention and done the meditation, got myself into great space, asked for what I wanted, put my order in with the universe, and 5 minutes later, universe delivered. I was like, wow, this is incredible.
I love it. Yes, the practical uses of the spiritual practices. Like, it's like, hey, this actually works in business. I can't prove how it works, but it just works.
It just does.
Yeah.
I don't even know how.
I love it. And now you actually have proof because you have this example.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Oh, fantastic. So this is Amy Hackett-Jones interviewing Kavita Lila Arora. Now, Kavita has chosen a wonderful song called Passion. I love this song. And it just you're just oozing passion for your business and everything else at the moment. So I can't wait to play this. and we'll talk about it afterwards as to why you selected this song. Here we go. Here's Passion. Not sure what happened there.
Did it just cut off?
How bizarre. I still had minutes to go. Anyway, never mind. I was thoroughly enjoying that. I went into a little meditative state myself.
That's awesome. Yeah, I was like, wait, what happened? But it's probably good because it can get kind of long. So, you know.
That was beautiful. That was Passion by Peter Gabriel. Thank you so much for sharing that. And for anybody who would like to continue to listen to that, you can go on over to iTunes and download it.
Yeah.
Why? I mean, I can totally feel that. I was absolutely went into a meditative state there. Why did you choose that song?
Because I feel like, I feel so much when I listen to it.
Yeah.
And it is meditative at the same time. So you can meditate like you were doing, or you can move around on the floor if you want to and just express whatever emotions are coming through from the music. I feel like it's really soul stirring, and whatever it is that needs to be transmuted in me will come up and move. Or if I'm already in a happy state, I just really just get into like the energy of the passion. And so it's whatever state I'm in, I feel like I can connect to it. Like, it's not one of those songs, like, I was thinking, like, oh, well, I really like Shine Bright Like a Diamond, or there are other ones that are much more peppy. And but if I'm not feeling inspired, then I don't necessarily want to listen to that, you know, because I might get annoyed because I'm not matching that mood. But I feel like this particular selection, it doesn't matter what mood I'm in, I still enjoy it. I can be totally in a dark mood and there will be something for me to relate to, and I will feel more uplifted after listening to this. Or I can be totally excited and still it's not going to bring me down. Like, it has so much range and depth, so that's why I chose it.
Oh, fantastic. I love it. I'm just going to go back and re-listen.
Yeah.
Oh, awesome. Wonderful. So, tell me a little bit about your Epic Dream Academy.
Yes, well, so that is the new business that I have launched in February of this year, sort of the reinvention of me and my business and my brand. And it came through for me in part because I've almost given up on my epic dreams so many times and then still gone for them. I thought, I am a stand for women going for their epic dreams, not just their dreams. I mean, dreams are great too, but epic dreams, like, people do not dream big enough, and we give up too easily, and having almost given up so many times myself and then still persevered, and at times when it made no sense to persevere, that I am here to be that beacon for women who want to go for their epic dreams. So that's what Epic Dream Academy is about overall. And then there are a couple different pathways inside which, you know, I make it happen in their businesses right now is my area of focus, which emerged actually after Epic Dream Academy emerged. I said, I actually still want to do this business stuff. Like, I have a new way now after all of the things that I've been through and all the different things I've learned on my journey. Like, I can actually, I feel like I can support someone making their business dreams come true their way, like, and really, like, make it their epic dream business. And so that is a big piece of the Epic Dream Academy, and then a developing piece of and that's the Soul Fire Sales that we were talking about, and a sister mind that I'm running next year called Soul. I think I might call it, I don't know. I'm still trying to decide whether it should be Soul Fire Sales Sister Mind or whether it should be Wealth Dream Alchemy Sister Mind. So I've already got some people enrolled in it, which is kind of funny, but I haven't decided the name. So, like, it's still, people started wanting it before I actually finished fully creating it, which was sort of fun and awesome. And then, and then the other aspect that I will be working on developing because it's a newer area for me is just epic dreams in your life and really having, like, what does it mean to really truly be free and have passion in your life? And that's a lot of the inner work that I, and then the journey that I've been on since my being completely miserable and feeling dead inside and then having the DUI happen and then all of the inner transformation. And I've done so many different programs. And so I have so many different, like, methods that I'm bringing together in the Epic Dream Method. And it also draws on ancient Vedic wisdom. I grew up Hindu, and I've had such a strong interest in that. Plus, it also draws on Tantra, which I've been studying this year.
Yes,
so it's really like a true activation of passion from deep inside, because I felt like it was an unexplored area, sexuality inside of me, and then also inside of a lot of women. It's kind of taboo or weird, or and I know I was really weird about all sorts of things to do with it. I couldn't, you know, well, I won't say the word on the, is there certain words that a lot of people say very easily that I couldn't say until this year, and I don't even know what's appropriate to say on the show, so I won't say anything that might be inappropriate, but I just...
I think it's really good. I've had people swearing on this show. I think we're all right.
No, okay, well, I'll say the word then, because, like, to me, I have weirdness around, like, oh, I'm on a radio show. I'm allowed to say this. Like, before this year, I couldn't say the word pussy without having a weird reaction to it. And, like, I was very prudish around this stuff in some ways. And, you know, now I'm in a place where, like, I'm really inside of the, like, if you go deep into the soul fire sales method, what we're going to do inside of my sister mind is I'll be working with women with jade eggs, and, you know, I'm being trained in how to in how to really work with your lower chakras and your sexual energy and bringing that into your, liberating it, bringing it into your business. But also, it's a deep source of healing for women in a place like inside of which I feel like there's a lot of freedom and passion that is just stuck in our pelvises. And, you know, just, and I want to help liberate that. So that's also a part of, like, if you were to say, like, the three things that Epic Dream Academy helps with, it's like soul, getting in touch with your soul, your sexuality, and getting good at sales. You know,
those
are three things that I think are key to your epic dreams. Because even if you don't have a business, you're always selling every day. You're always selling. Yeah. People don't realize this, but so that's what it's about.
It's amazing. So, just rewind a sentence or two. I'd love you to share a little bit more about jade eggs, because I came across jade eggs about a month ago.
Yeah.
So for the uninitiated, just could you summarize, you know, what is a jade egg and what's its purpose and why would somebody want to go out and get one and study what it's all about?
Okay. So, well, I mean, I will give you a rudimentary explanation, because you also have to understand I'm actually in a training program right now and we haven't gotten to the jade egg certification part. So at this point I'm a student of, like, I've experienced it and certainly used the jade egg, but it's, so I believe it's an ancient Taoist practice, and it was, I don't know exactly how it was developed, but it's meant to actually cleanse and purify your yoni. And there are all different practices that you can engage in addition to, like, you know, I mean, I think that there are people out there who talk about, like, weightlifting. Yes, that is something that you can do. You know, you can attach weights to the jade egg. That is not the main use of it, but that is something that's been out there in the media. But it's really like it's a very healing practice is how I experience it. And I feel like it's a way to engage with working with your sexuality and your healing that isn't like, oh, you need to, I feel like it's easier for people to digest and to do in some ways. Now, there's been some recent controversy around the safety of it, and, you know, a lot of that, like, I feel like there's ignorance around around the jade egg, and ignorance around, like, it's pretty easy. You use boiling water and you can clean it, or, you know, you can use iodine and you can clean it and it's safe. You know, it's like, and then there are questions around, well, is it safe with jade to, you know, to put that in your body? So you have to make sure to buy a high quality jade egg. You don't want to just, because there are different qualities and gradations of jade. And, you know, so there are things like this that are important to pay attention to. But, you know, on the whole for myself, I just, I find it to be a very enlivening practice. Like there's a, you know, like I actually use it a lot, and I use it, you know, during my work day. I feel like it ignites my fire, and I forget I have it in a lot of the time, but it just, you know, it just, I can feel energy moving through me. And I'm like, oh yeah, I have that. You know, that's where that's coming from. And it's, so it just feels good. You know, it's not, yeah. I feel this is so funny. I've never talked about this publicly, so this is quite amusing for me. I'm better get used to it because I'm going to be teaching it. So yeah.
when I saw that in your bio, when you sent the information to me, I was like, oh, fantastic! Someone else out there is doing this.
Yeah. No, it's
amazing.
I feel like it's a really amazing way to create a pleasure practice for yourself, and I believe that pleasure practice is really important. It's like my teacher inside of this work, Layla Martin, you know, talks about just wanting people to have a daily self pleasure practice, like to have that become, you know, like, oh yeah, I meditated. Oh yeah, I did my self pleasure practice. Oh yeah, I went to yoga too. Like to have it be that. Oh, I went to tantra class, and then to have it be that normal, like that because it really is part of our health to be engaged. I'm sort of going beyond jade egg now, but I have a huge passion for this because I totally avoided my self-pleasure practice, and I was really glad I put myself into a certification program because I bought a jade egg years ago. I bought a course. I didn't do anything because I wanted what the sales page said, but I thought it was too weird, and I couldn't bring myself to, like, even boil it because then I would have to use it. Like, it was... I had so much weirdness. I mean, I grew up in a traditional Indian home, and it was like, I'm not supposed to be doing this stuff. It was so strong in me. And now I'm so glad I got over it that I want to help other people get over it, especially if they're as weird as I was about it.
Brilliant. I love it. Amazing.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Well, given that this is the Being Brilliant radio show, I'd love you just to share with our listeners, what is being brilliant for you?
So that's a very good question. I love what your show is about and the title of the show. Like, I almost didn't need to know anything about it other than that to want to join, because I'm like, that's so cool. So the, I feel like when a person is, like, in touch with their, what I was talking about before, like their soul fire, their dharma, their mission, their essence, and they're like coming from that place inside, and you're in this place, let me not talk in third person, when you're in this place of like following your intuition and your guidance, and you're doing things that don't make sense to other people, but you just know that this is what you need to do, and you follow it, and then the ability to follow that guidance, that intuition, some people call it God, some people call it their inner wisdom, doesn't matter what you call it, it's the same thing in each person, and it's the same kind of force, we all have it, and when we follow that, and we are living our dharma, then to me, that's what being brilliant is, and each person has a different way of expressing this, but a lot of people never get there, because our minds, our conditioning, our, like, it just, a lot of these things that actually support us in being brilliant, the way we are meant to be brilliant, they don't make sense to the mind, and are the things we've been taught we're supposed to do with our lives, and what's okay. So being brilliant, it requires really getting, like, dropping out of the mind, really dropping into your body wisdom, and doing what you are guided to do over and over and over again, like not staying in your comfort zone and taking those risks. That to me is what being brilliant is about.
Fantastic. I love that. And your top three insights from your field of experience that you'd like to the listeners to walk away with, what would they be?
Well, one of them, I may have said some of these. Actually, I've said several of these already, but I'll just summarize. So one is, like, I can't help but to talk about them. So, you know, one big one is, you know, people don't dream big enough because they dream too much from their minds and not enough from their fire, their soul fire, their body wisdom. And, you know, they limit themselves. So it would be that, like, I would love for you, anyone who is listening, to look at your dreams and say, am I dreaming big enough? Is this really an epic dream? Or have I allowed, am I even dreaming at all? Because I was at a place where I felt so dead, I didn't even have any dreams. I didn't feel like I was looking forward to anything. So, like, where are you on that continuum? Are you dreaming? If you are dreaming, if you're not dreaming, then dream. if you are dreaming, then, like, are you dreaming big enough? That would be the first insight. The second insight is that I really think that sales is a key skill that not enough women have. Well, put aside mastery. None of women are, like, even wanting to go there or venture there. It's very uncomfortable. And and really, like, if you look at your life, you're actually enrolling, you're negotiating, you are selling in some way or another all day. You are either, like, with yourself or with other people. In most of your interactions, there's some level of this going on. So, to really start to see that and say, you know, where I'll just leave it at that because there's so much more I can say about that. And I'll just stop myself from going further. But to start to play with that, like what I just said, you may completely disagree. You're like, I have a job and I don't do sales at work, so I don't sell, you know. So what's she talking about? Just open your mind to, like, yeah, maybe she's right. Like, oh yeah, I just negotiated with my son about, you know, making his bed or whatever. Like, it's just, we are actually selling the people in our lives on different things all the time. And then the other piece that I actually just touched on not too long ago is that soul, sex, and sales are the key to making your epic dreams come true. So play with that, you know, like, and again, you may have resistance and think I'm completely wrong. And I love to hear from you if that's what you think.
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
After all, I am an attorney, so I will argue with you. No, I'm kidding. Or maybe I'm not. But
you're a spiritual lawyer, so that, I just love the fact that you put those two together. That's amazing. So if anybody would like to reach out to Kavita, her website is www.epicdreamacademy.com. That's epicdreamacademy.com. And that's the best place for people to go to find you, is it?
Yes, and if you're actually interested in Soulfire sales, I have a training going on right now, and I actually made up a shortened URL for you to get there. So if you are interested in learning, it's a free training, and it's, you know, lots. I'm essentially offering you a lot of value for free because because I really want to change the way women see sales. And so the way I was guided to do that, even though it doesn't make sense to a lot of marketing or gurus and sales gurus out there, they would tell me I'm crazy to do this. I'm giving away a lot for free because I really believe that this needs to change in the world. So it's at bit.ly/soulfiresales.
Wonderful. bit.ly/soulfiresales. Wow. Yep. Well, thank you so much. This has been such an epic conversation.
Yes, it has. It was awesome. thank you so much for having me and being such a great hostess and asking such fabulous questions and not getting freaked out by anything I say. And
oh, no, I love it. I feel like we could talk at least another 2 or 3 hours.
Yes, I love it.
Oh, wonderful. So this was Amy Hackett-Jones of the Being Brilliant radio show, even, interviewing Kavita Leela Arora of EpicDreamAcademy.com or bit.ly/soulfiresales. Thank you so much for being here with me today. Like I said, I thoroughly enjoyed it. And to everyone who's listening out there, thank you so much for listening. Be sure to tune in 2 weeks from now. And in the meantime, go out there and be your brilliant selves. Be the lighthouse, shine your light, no matter how fierce the storm. Ciao for now.
I can do anything. I can reach any goal today. I can do what I want. I can be what I want to be.
Coach on Fire Radio.
There's nothing like the thrill of a last-second victory. That buzzer beater from 20 feet out. The game-winning field goal that just makes it as the clock ticks down. That great limited-time deal on a new 2017 Volkswagen at the Volkswagen Model Year End event. We need to make room for the 2018s, so this could be your last chance to get a great deal on select 2017 Volkswagen models. Visit your nearest Volkswagen dealer for a test drive today. But hurry, because the clock is ticking and we can't call time out. There's nothing like the thrill of a last-second victory. That buzzer beater from 20 feet out. The game-winning field goal that just makes it as the clock ticks down. That great limited-time deal on a new 2017 Volkswagen at the Volkswagen Model Year End event. We need to make room for the 2018s, so this could be your last chance to get a great deal on select 2017 Volkswagen models. Visit your nearest Volkswagen dealer for a test drive today. But hurry, because the clock is ticking and we can't call time out.